I'd like to introduce to everyone here a very special friend and dear brother of ours. His name is John Robert Graber. And yesterday I introduced him as a friend of ours because I was so, I don't know what, and I couldn't think of his name. And he's a dear friend. And I asked him if he would want to just share a few words, a few minutes of his conversion, of how God changed him, and he said he'd be happy to. So,
greetings, everyone. sort of a surprise. Just standing there singing, and someone asked me to share my testimony. Praise God. I've been really blessed just being out here this past weekend here. And it's hard to believe that tomorrow I go home already. Time just flies by. And I just, like that song we sang, I've been changed, you know. Praise God. It's only by the cleansing power of Jesus' blood that we're changed, that we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. And may all praise and glory be unto Jesus. May He be glorified today. And I don't want any glory of myself. I guess my conversion, it starts out, I didn't really have any knowledge of God's Word at all. I come from an old order setting with my background, and my dad was never, he didn't like the schooling system, so I never went to the Amish school. And so therefore I didn't have any Amish friends. I went to public school, and so when I turned 16, that's the age around home that all the youth are basically free to do as they want. You know, they can leave on weekends and do things with the other youth. And I remember the first, I don't know, it was probably 3 or 4 weekends or maybe a month or so that I was afraid to leave. I didn't know where to go, and I didn't know anyone. And ended up, I left, and I made friends, and that was probably right around the time that the New Order was starting. There was Bible study starting, I guess. And I didn't know anything about these Bible studies. Pretty soon you started hearing things. You know, there's Bible studies, and then there's this New Order church that started. And the group that I went to, they were supposed to be good people. They didn't drink, they didn't smoke, they didn't party. But we were still wicked. Our hearts were deceitfully wicked. And I went to this group of youth. It was a really big group. It was probably close to 70 people, 50 to 70. And during that time when the New Order started, there was a split. Half of them said, no, we can't have anything to do with those people. And half of them wanted to have Bible studies, or their parents did. And so there was a split. And that was kind of a hard decision for me, because I had friends here and I had friends there. And I didn't know anything about the Bible studies. I just heard there was a new belief, and I didn't know anything about it. You know, I heard things, but I had no knowledge. And so it meant nothing to me, really. And I didn't have anything to fear. So I was just, I guess, torn apart. And the closer friends were on the New Order side, or this side with the new belief. And so I started going there. And through my friends, you know, I went to a few Bible studies. I didn't tell Mom and Dad I went. I just said, well, I don't know where I'm going for sure. I'm going to go over to this guy's house, and then I'll find out. And I was just afraid of what they would say. And But it ended up, I went to a few Bible studies, and this August, 2 years ago, this August, there was revival meetings. And I went to those revival meetings, and I was so nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I had never been to a revival meeting before. And one of my friends I was really close to, he invited me to come, so I went with him, and we were driving our horses and buggies, and he pulled in front of me, and I went in there, and I pulled up beside him, and right away I was starting to, asking him questions before I even got off, and I got off, and I forgot to tie my horse up. I was so nervous. I had so much going through my head, I didn't even think of it. And we went in, and we sat there, and I don't remember a whole lot of what was preached, I guess. I don't remember that. But the meetings were probably halfway over, and someone came in and got me and said, "No, somebody's here with your horse." I thought, "What? What happened?" So I went out, and it was untied, and it was going down the road, going toward home. And somebody saw it and stopped it, and they brought it back. And I went out, and I tied it up, and a couple of my friends came out with me, and we were walking back up to the building where the meetings were, and he said, "I want to go get some brothers. I want to pray about something." He said, "Would you want to come pray with me?" And I thought, well, I never prayed with anyone before. I thought, well, yeah, I'll go with them, and they can pray, and I'll just sit there and listen. And they started praying, and he started confessing sins, and sins that I had hidden in my heart that I thought I was the only one that ever committed those things. And I just thought, wow, this is a chance God is giving me to be free of these, to come out and ask Him to forgive me. Because I had always had them in my heart, and I thought, I'm never going to tell anyone that, because, who would do that? I thought I was the only one that ever did that. But I wasn't. And God showed me that. And we started talking, and some of the brothers, one of them asked, "So, would you say you're born again?" And that was foreign to me. I never heard that before. Born again, what did that mean? I had no idea. So I sat there a little bit, and I thought, wow, what do I say? I didn't want to say yeah because I didn't know, and I didn't want to say no because what if I was? And I didn't know. And so I said, well, I guess I really don't know. And he said, well, if you don't know, you probably aren't. So, they explained to me what it was to be born again and to have your sins forgiven and confess your sins and have them washed away by the blood of Christ. And that night was the start of it. I couldn't have told you the next day, what happened to me, but I just knew something was different. And I went home, and I had a desire to read my Bible. Before the year I turned 16, my parents bought me my own Bible. And a couple of people had told me, you can read through that in a year if you want. You can read so many chapters out of the Old Testament and so many out of the New Testament, and in a whole year you can read it all the way through. And I thought, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to read the Bible through as many times as I possibly can. That surely that's a good thing. And I started reading. I read for maybe a month, and I had no interest. There was nothing in there that was interesting at all. I just had no life. The words didn't have life to me. The words are living, but it wasn't alive in my life. And after my conversion, after I was born again, those words, I went and I started reading. I thought, wow, how did I miss this? I started reading through the Gospels, and I thought, wow, I couldn't believe I missed that. And I just slowly grew, I guess, and up till now, and I'm still growing. I am still young in the faith, very young, and just encourage all the youth here. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, I pray that you would. You know, in my carnal state, I always thought of Christians as, you know, going to church and being a good person was boring. There was no fun in that. And I dreaded going to church. We went to church once every 2 weeks. There was, went to church one Sunday, and then we didn't have church the next Sunday, and then 2 weeks later we had a church. And that was so, I mean, it seemed like it came so fast, you know. It's like, oh, it's time to go to church again, and we just dreaded it as children. Because we didn't understand anything. I didn't understand German. I understand a little, but not enough to get anything out of the sermons. And that made it really hard to go to church. But now we go to church every Sunday, and it doesn't come fast enough. So praise God for that. My parents and the rest of my family are still in the old order setting. I still live with them. I was never a member in the old order Amish. And they don't really agree with the decision I've made. But they have accepted me for the stand I've taken. And I still have a relationship with them, but not what I want. Not the relationship I want with them. And I just ask for all of your prayers. Pray for them and for myself and all of us. We need to pray for one another. And, yeah. I guess another thing would be when I was baptized. I guess I had my own. Well, I didn't have my own. My dad got me a cell phone. It's hooked up to his, you know, to his plan, and I got to use it on weekends, and I could talk to, you know, all these people. I could call them, and I called Josh a lot, and I was, you know, desiring to come to this church and be with these people, and my parents felt threatened, I guess. And I was grounded for about 2 months or so. And that was a struggle for me because I was never grounded in my life. You know, I was a pretty good child, for the most part. I obeyed my parents, and I was never grounded before, and this was so hard. You know, the first couple weeks I had to stay home. I couldn't leave on weekends. They took my phone away, and I thought, oh, this is miserable. And you know, around the area where I'm from, we it's a bad habit. You know, the youth think they have to leave every weekend and do something, and you don't. And that was good for me. That was a learning experience and a time that I grew closer to God. And I was, you know, used to turn into someone else and, you know, telling my problems to another brother. You know, that's not wrong to share your struggles with another brother, but that's what I was doing mostly. I wasn't going to God like I should have been. And that made me turn to God and just give Him everything. Give Him my whole life. And I had been desiring baptism too. I've been praying about it, and I wanted a true believer's baptism. I didn't want to be baptized in the old order setting and then have to end up getting excommunicated and go through all that. And my parents, I guess, well, the reason I was grounded was because I wouldn't go through instruction class and be baptized in the old order setting. And they were pretty upset about that. And during that time, I had a job, a part-time job, at Save-A-Lot, a grocery store in the little town there where we live. And I worked there at night, Monday nights and Thursday nights. And I was there at work one night, and there's a gas station beside there that had a payphone. And I was biking home, and I pulled in there, and I guess I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Before this, I just finished the book, Fire in the Zurich Hills. And that was, you know, just a real encouragement to me. I desire a baptism like those, the people then, the Anabaptists. We heard about them today, you know, our forefathers, and they were considered to be, you know, they were called rebaptizers because they didn't believe in infant baptism, and they wanted a true believer's baptism, and that's what I wanted. And so I prayed, and I made up my mind, you know. I said, okay, God, you know, the next chance I get, next baptism there is, I'm going to go. I'm going to obey. I'm going to go and be baptized because that's what God's Word says. And I went that Thursday night, and I called Josh. And I told him, you know, I've been praying for baptism, and told him that, you know, I made up my mind, the next baptism there is, I would like to be baptized. And he's like, really? You know, there's baptisms on Sunday. And oh, my heart just skipped a few beats. I thought, oh no, that's too soon. I didn't mean now. You know, I thought that was too soon. And I talked to him a little longer, and I came to realize that, you know, if I wanted to obey God, this is what I had to do. And so I went home that Thursday night, and I told my parents on Friday. And that was a long 2 days. They really were trying to convince me not to. And so I guess it was a struggle there for a while. And then Sunday morning came, and they didn't say a whole lot. They said, well, you know, they think that I'm breaking the commandments because I'm disobeying my parents. And that was just a struggle. I thought, oh, you know, it says obey your parents in the Lord. And I wanted so bad for them to understand, but they didn't understand. They didn't see the things that I saw. And I left that morning, and I just had this peace. I had this peace in my heart, and that song that we sang, you know, I've been to the river and I've been baptized. I was singing that on the way over there. I was singing, I'm going to the river and I'm going to be baptized. And I was just blessed. I got there and I found out that James and another couple were getting baptized that day. And I had no idea that James was getting baptized. I was pretty close to James. And that was such a blessing that we could get baptized together. And how God worked all of that out, you know. I thought there would never anything like that. I never even thought anything would happen even close to that. And I was really blessed that God worked that all out so perfectly. And He is a gracious God. He is a great and wonderful God. And just beyond what my words can express, I cannot express the feelings I have inside. But I'll just leave that with you guys, and may God bless you all. And thank you for all the encouragement that you've been to me. So may God bless you.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.